Chapter 77. That the multitude of things willed is not inconsistent with the divine simplicity. Hence it follows that the multitude of things willed is not inconsistent with the oneness and simplicity of the divine substance, for acts are distinguished according to their objects. If, then, the plurality of things willed by God indicated any kind of multitude in Him, it would follow that there is not only one operation of the will in Him, and this is contrary to what has been proved. Again, it has been shown that God wills other things in as much as He wills His goodness, wherefore things stand in relation to His will for as much as they are comprised in His goodness. Now all things are one in His goodness because other things are in Him according to His mode, to wit material things immaterially and multitude unitedly, as we have shown above. Hence it follows that the plurality of things willed does not argue plurality in the divine substance. Further, the divine intellect and will are of equal simplicity, since each is the divine substance, as we have proved. Now the multitude of things understood does not involve multiplicity in the divine essence, nor composition in His intellect. Neither therefore does the multitude of things willed prove either diversity in the divine essence or composition in His will. Moreover, the difference between knowledge and appetite is that knowledge results from the thing known being somehow in the knower, whereas appetite does not, but on the contrary, results from the appetite being referred to the appetible thing, which the appetite seeks and wherein it rests. For this reason good and evil which regard the appetite are in things, whereas true and false which regard knowledge or in the mind, as the philosopher states in 6 Metaphysics. It is not inconsistent with the simplicity of a thing that it be referred to many, since even unity is the principle of the multitude of numbers. Therefore the multitude of things willed by God is not inconsistent with His simplicity. Chapter 78. That the divine will extends to particular goods. It is also evident from the foregoing that in order to safeguard the divine simplicity it is not necessary for us to say that God wills other goods in a kind of universal way, in so far as He wills Himself to be the source of the goods which can flow from Him, and that He does not will them in particular. For the act of willing is according to a comparison of the willer to the thing willed. Now the divine simplicity does not forbid God's being compared to many things, even to particulars, for He is said to be best or first even in comparison with singulars. Therefore His simplicity is not inconsistent with His willing things other than Himself even in special or particular. Again, God's will is compared to other things in as much as they partake of His goodness through being ordered to the divine goodness which is to God the reason of His willing. Now not only the universe of good things, but also each one of them derives its goodness as also its being from the goodness of God. Therefore God's will extends to each single good. Moreover, according to the philosopher, there is a twofold good of order in the universe, one consisting in the whole universe being directed to that which is outside the universe, just as the army is directed to the commander-in-chief, while the other consists in the parts of the universe being directed to each other, as the parts of an army, and the second order is for the sake of the first. Now God, through willing Himself as end, wills other things that are directed to Him as their end, as we have proved. Therefore He wills the good of the order of the whole universe in relation to Himself, and the order of the universe as regards the mutual relation of its parts. Now the good of order arises from each single good. Therefore He wills also singular goods. Further, if God wills not the singular goods of which the universe consists, it follows that the good of order is in the universe by chance, for it is not possible that some one part of the universe arranges all the particular goods so as to produce the order of the universe. And only the universal cause of the whole universe can do this, which cause is God who acts by His will, as we shall prove further on. But it is impossible for the order of the universe to result from chance, since it would follow a fortiori that other things which come afterwards are the result of chance. Therefore it follows that God wills even each particular good. Again, the good understood as such is the object of the will. God understands also particular goods, as we have proved. He also wills particular goods. This is confirmed by the authority of Scripture, which sets forth the pleasure of the divine will in each work, in the words, "God saw the light that it was good," and in like manner as to each work, and afterwards in reference to all the works, "God saw all that he had made, and they were very good." Chapter 79. That God wills even the things that are not yet. Now, if the act of willing is by comparison of the willer to the thing willed, someone might think that God wills only the things that are, since relatives must needs be simultaneous, and if one ceases, the other ceases, as the philosopher teaches. Wherefore, if the act of willing is by comparison of the willer to the thing willed, no one can will other things than those which are. Moreover, will relates to things willed, even as cause and creator. Now, not even God can be called creator, or Lord, or Father, except of the things that are. Neither therefore can he be said to will other things than those which are. One might conclude further, if God's willing is unchangeable, just as the divine being, and if he wills nothing but what actually is, that he wills nothing but what always is. To these arguments some answer that things which are not in themselves are in God and in his intellect. Wherefore nothing prevents God willing things even which are not in themselves, in so far as they are in him. This reply, however, is seemingly insufficient. For every willer is set to will a thing in so far as his will is referred to the thing willed. Wherefore, if the divine will is not referred to a thing willed that is not except in so far as it is in God or in his intellect, it would follow that God wills it merely because he wills it to be in himself or in his intellect. Yet those who make the above statements do not mean this, but that God wills things which as yet are not to be also in themselves. Again, if the will be referred to the thing willed through its object, which is a good understood, the intellect understands that the good is not only in the intellect itself, but also in its own nature, and the will must be referred to the thing willed not only as it is in the knower, but also as it is in itself. Accordingly, we must say that, since the apprehended good moves the will, the act of willing must needs follow the condition of the apprehender, even as the movements of other movables follow the condition of the mover, which is the cause of the movement. Now the relation of the apprehender to the thing apprehended is consequent upon the apprehension, because the apprehender is referred to the thing apprehended through its apprehension thereof. Now the apprehender apprehends the thing not only as it is in the apprehender, but also as it is in its proper nature, for we not only could know that a thing is understood by us, which is the same as the thing being in our intellect, but also that it is, or has been, or will be in its proper nature. Wherefore, although the thing is then only in the knower, yet the relation consequent upon the apprehension is referred thereto not as it is in the knower, but as it is in its proper nature, which the apprehender apprehends. Accordingly, the relation of the divine will is to an non-existent thing, as it is in its proper nature in reference to a certain time, and not only as in God knowing it. Therefore God wills the thing that is not now to be in reference to a certain time, and he does not will merely to understand it. Nor does the comparison hold with the relation of willer to thing willed, nor of creator to creature, nor of maker to thing made, nor of lord to the creature subject to him. For to will is an act abiding in the willer, wherefore it does not necessarily imply anything existing outside. But to make, to create, and to govern denote an action terminating in an external effect, without the existence of which such an action is inconceivable. Chapter 80. That God necessarily wills his being and his goodness. From what has been proved above, it follows that God wills necessarily his being and his goodness, and that he cannot will the contrary. For it has been shown that God wills his being and goodness as principal object, which is the reason of his willing other things. Wherefore in everything willed by him he wills his being and goodness, just as the sight sees light in every color. Now it is impossible for God not to will a thing actually, for he would be only potentially willing, which is impossible, since his willing is his being. It is necessary for him to will his being and his goodness. Again, whoever wills, of necessity wills his last end. Thus man of necessity wills his own happiness, nor can he will unhappiness. Now God wills himself as last end, as stated above. Therefore he necessarily wills himself to be, nor can he will himself not to be. Moreover, the end in matters of appetite and action is as an undemonstrable principle in speculative matters, for just as in speculative matters conclusions are drawn from principles, so in active and appetitive matters the reason of all things to be done or desired is taken from the end. Now, in speculative matters, the intellect necessarily assents to the first undemonstrable principles, to the contraries of which it can nowise assent. Therefore the will necessarily adheres to the last end, so as to be unable to will the contrary. And thus, if the will of God has no other end than himself, he necessarily wills himself to be. Again, all things, inasmuch as they are like to God, who is being first and foremost. Now all things, inasmuch as they are, love their own being naturally in their own way. Much more therefore does God love his own being naturally. Now his nature is per se necessary being, as was proved. Therefore God necessarily wills himself to be. Further, every perfection and goodness which is in creatures, belongs to God essentially, as we have proved above. But to love God is the highest perfection of the rational creature, since by so doing man is, in a way, united to God. Therefore this is in God essentially. Therefore he loves himself necessarily, and so he wills himself to be. Chapter 81. That God does not necessarily will other things than himself. Now if God wills the divine goodness and being necessarily, someone might think that he wills other things necessarily also, since he wills all else by willing his own goodness, as we have already proved. Yet to those who look at it aright it is clear that he wills other things not of necessity, for he wills other things as order to the end which is his goodness. Now the will is not necessarily directed to the means, if the end is possible without them, for the physician, supposing him to have the will to heal, has no need to prescribe to the patient those remedies without which he can heal the patient. Since, then, God's goodness can be without other things, nay more, since nothing accrues thereto from other things, he is under no necessity to will other things through willing his own goodness. Again, since the good understood is the proper object of the will, any concept of the intellect, provided it retains an aspect of goodness, can be an object of the will. Wherefore, although the being of a thing as such is good, and its not being an evil, the not being of a thing can be an object of the will by reason of some connected good which is retained, albeit not of necessity, because it is good for a thing to be, even though another be non-existent. Hence that good alone is the will, according to its nature, unable to will not to be, without the existence of which, the aspect of good is wholly done away. Now such a good is God alone. Wherefore the will, according to its nature, is able to will the not being of anything whatever except God. Now will is in God according to its full capacity, since all things in him are in every way perfect. Hence God can will the not being of anything whatever except himself. Therefore he does not necessarily will things other than himself. Moreover, God, by willing his own goodness, wills other things to be, inasmuch as they partake of his goodness. Now, since God's goodness is infinite, it can be participated in an infinite number of ways, and in other ways besides those in which it is participated by those creatures which now are. If, then, through willing his own goodness, he willed of necessity the things which participate it, it would follow that he wills an infinite number of creatures partaking of his goodness in an infinite number of ways. But this is clearly false, for if he willed it, they would exist, since his will is the source of being to things, as we shall prove further on. Therefore he does not necessarily will those things also that are not. Again, a wise man, through willing the cause, wills the effect which follows necessarily from the cause, for it would be foolish to will that the sun exist above the earth, and that there be no brightness of day. On the contrary, it is not necessary for one through willing the cause to will an effect which does not follow of necessity from the cause. Now other things proceed from God not necessarily, as we shall show further on. Therefore it is not necessary that God will other things through willing himself. Moreover, things proceed from God as products of art from a craftsman, as we shall show further on. Now the craftsman, though he will himself to have his art, does this not necessarily will to produce his work. Therefore neither does God necessarily will things other than himself. We must accordingly consider why it is that God knows of necessity other things than himself, whereas he wills them not of necessity, and yet through understanding and willing himself, he understands and wills other things. The reason is this, because that the person who understands something, is due to the understanding person being conditioned in a certain way, insofar as a thing is actually understood through its likeness being and the person who understands it, whereas that the willer wills something, is due to the thing willed being conditioned in some way since we will a thing either because it is an end, or because it is directed to an end. Now the divine perfection necessarily requires that all things should be in God, in order that they may be understood in him, whereas the divine goodness does not necessarily demand that the other things which are directed to it as therein should exist. For this reason it is necessary that God should know, but not will, other things. Wherefore neither does he will all things that can possibly be directed to his goodness, although he knows all that can in any way be directed to his essence, whereby he understands. Chapter 82. Objections against the statement that God wills not of necessity things other than himself, in that it involves impossibilities. Nevertheless, it would seem to lead to impossibilities if God does not necessarily will the things that he wills. For if God's will is not determined in respect of certain things that he wills, it would seem that he is indifferent. Now every power that is indifferent is somewhat in potentiality, since the indifferent is a species of possible contingency. Therefore God's will would be in potentiality, and consequently it would not be God's substance, wherein there is no potentiality, as we have shown above. Again, if a potential being as such is naturally changeable, since what is possible to be, is possible to not be, it follows also that the divine will is changeable. Further, if it is natural for God to will something concerning his effects, it is necessary. Now nothing can be in him that is not natural to him, for nothing accidental or violent can be in him, as we have proved above. Again, if that which is indifferent to either of two alternatives does not tend to the one rather than to the other unless it be determined by something else, it follows that either God wills none of the things to which he is indifferent, the contrary of which has been proved above, else he is determined to one alternative by something else. And thus something will be before him that determines him to one thing. Now none of these consequences follow of necessity. For indifference may befit a power in two ways: first, on the part of the power itself; secondly, in respect of that to which it is said to be indifferent. On the part of the power itself, when it has not yet reached its perfection whereby it is determined to one thing. Wherefore this argues imperfection in the power, and potentiality is proved to be in it as may be seen in the intellect of one who doubts, for it has not yet acquired the principles by which it may be determined to one alternative. On the part of the thing to which it is said to be indifferent, a power is found to be indifferent to either alternative, when the perfect operation of the power depends on neither. And yet either is possible even as an art which can use various instruments that are equally adapted to perfect its work. Now this does not argue imperfection in the power, rather does it pertain to its perfection in as much as it transcends both alternatives, and for this reason is determined to neither, being indifferent to both. It is thus with God's will in regard to other things than himself, since its end depends on none of these other things, whereas it is most perfectly united to its end. Therefore it does not follow that there must be potentiality in the divine will. Likewise neither does it follow that there is changeableness. For if there is no potentiality in God's will, the reason why, in his effects, he does not of necessity give preference to the one alternative, is not because he is considered to be indifferent to either alternative, so as to be at first potentially willing either, and afterwards willing actually, whereas he is always actually willing whatsoever he wills, with regard not only to himself but also his effects, but it is because the thing willed is not necessarily related to the divine goodness, which is the proper object of the divine will, in the same way in which we say that an enunciation is not necessary but possible where the predicate is not necessarily related to the subject. Hence when we say God wills this effect, this statement is clearly not necessary but possible, in the same way as a thing is said to be possible, not in reference to a potentiality, but because it is neither necessary nor impossible for it to be. As the philosopher teaches, thus the statement that a triangle has two equal sides is possible, yet not in reference to a potentiality, since in mathematics there is neither potentiality nor movement. Therefore the exclusion of the aforesaid necessity does not remove the unchangeableness of the divine will, to which Holy Writ bears witness. The triumpher in Israel will not be moved to repentance. Yet although God's will is not determined to its effects, it does not follow that he wills none of them, or that he is determined by something outside to will them. For, since the apprehended good determines the will as the latter's proper object, while God's intellect is not outside his will, because each is his essence, if God's will is determined by the will of his intellect to will something, the determination of the divine will is not affected by something outside. For the divine intellect apprehends not only the divine being which is his goodness, but also other goods, as we proved above. And it apprehends these as likenesses of the divine goodness, not as principles thereof. Wherefore the divine will tends to them as according with his goodness, not as necessary thereto. It is the same with our will, because when it tends to something as simply necessary to an end, it is moved by a kind of necessity towards it, whereas when it tends to something merely on account of some fittingness, it does not tend thereto of necessity. Therefore neither does the divine will tend necessarily to its effects, nor does it follow on account of what has been said, that we must admit the existence in God of something not natural. For his will, by the one and same act, wills himself and other things. Now his relation to himself is necessary and natural, whereas his relation to other things is by way of a kind of fittingness, not necessary and natural, nor violent and unnatural, but voluntary, since what is voluntary must needs be neither natural nor violent. Chapter 83. That God wills something other than himself by a necessity of supposition. We may conclude from the foregoing that, although God wills none of his effects of absolute necessity, he wills something necessarily by supposition. For it has been proved that the divine will is unchangeable. Now that which is once in an unchangeable thing cannot afterwards not be therein, since we say that a thing is changed when its condition is different now to what it was before. Therefore, if God's will is unchangeable, supposing that he will something, it is necessary by supposition that he will it. Again, everything eternal is necessary. Now that God wills some particular effect to exist is eternal, for his willing, like his being, is measured by eternity. Therefore it is necessary. Not however if we consider it absolutely, because God's will has not a necessary relation to this particular thing willed. Therefore it is necessary by supposition. Further, whatsoever God could do, he can do, for his power is not diminished, as neither is his essence. But he cannot now not will what he is supposed to have willed, since his will is unchangeable. Therefore he never could not will whatever he has willed. Therefore it is necessary by supposition that he willed, as also that he will, whatever he willed. Neither however is necessary absolutely, but possible in the aforesaid manner. Moreover, whosoever wills a thing, necessarily wills those things which are necessarily requisite to that thing, unless there be a defect on his part, either through ignorance, or because he is led astray from the right choice of means to the end in view, by some passion. But these things cannot be said of God. Wherefore if God, in willing himself, wills something other than himself, it is necessary for him to will all that is necessarily required for what is willed by him. Even so is it necessary for God to will that there be a rational soul, supposing that he wills a man to be. Chapter 84. That God's will is not of things impossible in themselves. Hence it is clear that God's will cannot be of things that are impossible in themselves, for the like are those which imply a contradiction in themselves. For instance, that a man be an ass, which implies that rational is irrational. Now that which is incompatible with a thing excludes some of those things which are required for that thing. For instance, to be an ass excludes man's reason. If, then, he wills necessarily the things that are required for those he is supposed to will, it is impossible that he will those that are incompatible with them. Hence it is impossible for him to will things that are simply impossible. Again, ass was proved above, God, by willing his own being, which is his own goodness, wills all things as bearing a likeness to him. Now in so far as a thing is incompatible with the notion of being as such, it cannot retain a likeness to the first, that is, the divine being, which is the source of being. Wherefore God cannot will that which is incompatible with the notion of being as such. Now just as irrationality is incompatible with the notion of man as such, so is it incompatible with the notion of being as such, that anything be at the same time a being and a non-being. Hence God cannot will affirmation and negation to be true at the same time. Yet this is implied in everything which is in itself impossible, that it is incompatible with itself, inasmuch as it implies a contradiction. Therefore God's will cannot be of things impossible in themselves. Moreover, the will is only of some understood good. Wherefore that which is not an object of the intellect cannot be an object of the will. Now things in themselves impossible are not an object of understanding, since they imply a contradiction, except perhaps through an error of one who understands not the property of things, and this cannot be said of God. Therefore things in themselves impossible cannot be an object of God's will. Further, according as a thing is related to being, so is it related to goodness. But impossibles are things that cannot be, therefore they cannot be good. Neither therefore can they be willed by God, who wills only the things that are or can be good. Dash.